What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea. Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello,
and welcome back to 20 whatever. Back again for another episode. So excited to be sitting here with you ladies.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
You said yeehaw like three times this morning. Were you listening to like country music on the way here?
It just feels right. I don't know why. Like, let's ride them, cowboy. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I'm like in a mood today, and I think that I'm like, it's now that the cameras are rolling, let's go. I'm feeling really squirrely. Like, let's.
Okay.
I'm here with the girls.
Right, the squirrel friends.
Yeah, the squirrel friends.
Squirrel friends.
Yes, these are my squirrel friends.
I literally cannot hear howdy without seeing the emoji with the cowboy hat on.
You know what I think when someone says howdy?
What?
Or yeehaw? Is that video from Coachella, like 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was Casey Musgraves, where they're like, when I say ye, you say ha. Ye, ha. I didn't say fucking ye.
Stop. What? I don't remember that.
I like that.
I remember because when that video came out, I just, that became my earworm. Like, I just kept thinking, I didn't say fucking ye.
Right.
And I was filming a video with Carrie Dayton, like, that week, and I said it, like, 500 times.
Really?
Like anytime we'd be like posing for a picture, I'd be like, I didn't say ye. I didn't say fucking ye.
Oh my God.
What was that you just called it? Like an
earhole?
An earworm.
Oh, earworm.
An earworm.
Right. And that's like something that just like.
It's like this part of a song or a hook or, you know, like a jingle, like for a commercial that just lives in your head.
And it's like the worm is just like singing it in your ear. So you're just like regurgitating.
Your worm, first things first.
I'm a realist. Yeah.
The earworm.
Earworm.
So things like that. And I like always think that. I'm like,
wait,
I guess I have
multiple earworms. Remember the one I had in, I think it was 2021, and I could not stop. And it's like when we went out and I was like, R.I.P. that pussy, yay!
Yes!
I could not stop. It was so annoying. And I knew it was annoying. I couldn't stop.
I know. And I feel like that just is kind of like how we kind of do, like, also as, like, a culture, because, like, there's trendy things. Like, right now is slay. Everything, slay, slay, slay. Everything's when we were period. I feel like we...
Right. I'm still in that one. I haven't left period yet. That's been a long one for me, I think.
But listen, period.
Period.
It works. And that's why, and then it gets in my ear, and then I'm like, oops, sorry, sorry. Or, like, what we were saying recently, I was like, dog. She said dog, and then
I said dog one time. And she ran with it. And I was like, guess I'll stop saying that one. Because then we're both just like, yeah, dog, 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 dog.
It's like American Idol 2006 Randy Jackson over here.
It's a no for me, dog.
and we use it's a no for me, dog, often, yeah. Actually.
That's a great one, though.
I do that like is. That one.
I feel like period is like the newer version of retweet. You know, people used to always be like, oh my God, retweet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Retweet.
Yeah, period is just like, it's just like, I agree. Or just like, right.
Right.
Exactly.
I've heard some people say that period is AAVE. Do you think it is? Do you think it's more just...
I mean, maybe. I feel like my mom has always said period. And so I think I always was like, period. But like, it just got really popular. So now it's just like, it's just what we say. I think period is a little iffy on that. I think like it could be. It probably is, because what isn't? But I don't think like it's exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in a very popular term, like in Mexico, forever, my whole life, y punto, and period.
Mm.
Y punto. That's it.
It transcends right. cultures.
Truly. And so, yeah. And I remember when period came, I was like, oh my God, that's like my mom has been saying period to me for right. my whole life. Holy shit.
And yeah. you know what white parents say? End of discussion. End of right, story.
Right.
End of sentence.
Because I said so.
Oh, no.
It's all the same. It's yeah. just the sentence is ending. Right. Conversation over.
And then we're done.
Period. El punto. End of discussion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dude, this girl, we need to be sponsored by Duolingo because the pronunciation, honestly. I'm so impressed. Truly.
Thank you.
Truly. Great yes. pronunciation.
What did I say yesterday that you were like,
the boat. The boy on the boat.
Oh,
El Niño del Mar.
El Niño del Mar.
Why?
Period.
Yeah, like they'd be struggling, like the especially the R. The R's. Like, good job.
It's
good
one job, of those things though, where I feel like if you either have to say it super white, like I'm not trying. I right. don't want to, you know,
right.
be trying to like imitate a Spanish accent, mm-hmm. or you just have to like
try
like, actually to try it. To say it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Because to do that in between,
because if you're like El Niño del Mar,
yeah,
or El Niño del Mar, it's like you can't. Do the in-between.
Mm-hmm,
it either mm-hmm. accept that it's not going to come out the
El
way.
El Niño del Mar.
Right, right.
Or
right.
say it right.
And, yeah. and here's the thing. I don't feel, and I have had people ask me, like, is it disrespectful to, like, try? And I don't think so. Like, at least in Mexico and the people that I'm always around, like, when you go, they, like, want to see you try. They right. enjoy it. They're like, you're trying rather than being like, can't you speak English? Like, why right. don't you speak English? And they're so used to them being like, how about if you just speak English? So I feel like the Latin community
which
is like,
wild
because
I'm like, you came to my house.
Yeah. Right.
Well. Why don't you speak what I speak?
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. So I feel like I always tell Ryan, he's like, is it disrespectful? I'm like, no, send it, try it. And so like right. when he's at work, he'll be like, todo bien, todo bien. And I'm like, yeah, they'll know what you're saying. And like,
right.
you'll get
and
it.
And honestly, I feel like too, if you can get half the sentence out or like a few words out, they'll figure out what like yeah. what you're trying to say and
yeah.
help
yeah.
you through it. Like
and it's interesting how like in different languages, obviously like pronunciation and stuff is different, but there are similarities in languages, especially mm-hmm. a lot of languages that like derive from like the same like Latin root, right?
Right, right.
I remember that reminded me. I went on a trip to Italy with my dad when I was in middle school. He had a work conference there. My dad does not speak Italian at all, but he is fluent in Spanish.
Mm. Oh.
And this man just walked around with complete confidence speaking Spanish, and most of the time they were able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were a little confused.
Right.
Oh, okay, here's this clearly white man in Italy
right.
speaking very good Spanish.
Right.
But it worked.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
root
yeah.
word, like certain words, like puerta, that's door. Port, like, I just remember, and you're like, it's the same thing. So you can just like, I remember the Italian exchange students. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but like, I know exactly what you're
like,
saying.
Yeah. I got
I'm
it.
I'm collecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, clues. Rachel just told us that she had people coming over to clean her house and Miriam never speaks to them because he like doesn't speak Spanish and like Rachel can talk to them and like figure it all out. But he can speak Italian. And so Rachel's like, oh yeah, they're going to go upstairs. Like, just move. Like, just don't say anything. And so Rachel moves on. Mario comes running downstairs. He's like, I spoke to them and it was so good. And like, you're going to be so proud of me. And she's like, oh, like, what'd you say? And he goes, escuchan. And I left. And she was like, you told them to listen to you? And he goes, oh no, I thought it was excuse me. Like, I thought I was saying excuse me because in Italian, it's like,
he said, she went up like, to these ladies and said, escucha. And
then
like,
left.
Yeah.
They're like,
okay, we're listening.
And she was like, I told you not to speak to them. And he was like, don't tell them I'm sorry. I thought I was doing
don't
good.
Tell them I'm sorry.
She was like, that he kept going, you really, Rachel, you have
you
to go upstairs
go
and
tell
explain.
Them I'm sorry
I am
right
so
now.
Sorry.
So now he's poor like, Mario. Not ever going to try again.
Right. He's like, that's the first and last time.
Yeah, Rachel was like, I literally told you not to say anything. And he was
oh
so proud
God.
Of himself. Oh.
I feel like speaking another language is such a flex. Like growing
Absolutely.
Up bilingual, like how cool.
I honestly, I don't know if that like was how I felt younger, but now mm-hmm. that I thank my mother every time I see her. I'm like, thank you so much for literally teaching me Spanish, because now as I've gotten older, gosh, so useful. Thank you for that, because
right.
I know growing up so many kids were like, no, I don't want to. And they like chose to. And I have some friends that like they just like didn't want to and their parents didn't like force them to like speak to them in Spanish. And
right.
like, I understand. Trust me, I hated it too. I really hated having to be like, Mom, I already said it in English. And she's like, sorry, can't understand. Thankful for it.
I remember Steven and I were watching this like documentary on how like babies' brains are formed when I was pregnant with Grace, because you know,
right,
things,
right.
And there was a whole episode about learning a second language as you're learning your first language, right? Not learning one language and then the other, but learning two languages at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there's this really interesting concept called OPAL, which is one parent, all language, or one parent, one language. So if you have two parents, one speaks exclusively in one language and one speaks in the other. And apparently the way kids' brains work, they can separate which ones are for which language based on that. So instead of just like both parents speaking in both languages, you talk to dad exclusively in Spanish and mom exclusively in English.
That definitely makes it helpful because of the thinking behind it. And I think that that's why when I do get confused, it's because I'm thinking in Spanish and then it comes out that way. But you're right, because my mom was strictly Spanish speaking. So when I'm speaking to her, I'm obviously thinking in that way. But if I'm over here talking to my dad, I'm thinking sometimes it could get blended. So, wow, what a interesting insight to that.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting.
Because you would think that that wouldn't be like the tea. You would think that like we all need to speak all of the languages to get like... so that they can, we can all like converse. And also now I'm like, wow, that's so tea, because if not, then you're trying to figure out which language you want to speak to whichever parent.
Yeah.
Because they both speak both. And you're like, should I start this in English and end it in Spanish? Like, which one are we doing? But I'm like, oh, I'm talking to you. That means you're speaking English. Like, I'm talking to you. I know what we're doing over here. Like,
Yeah, there's like that approach. And then also I remember one of the ones they talked about in that documentary was like speaking one language at home and one language when you're out of the house, because that's easy for the brain to categorize as well.
I'm so glad you bring that up, because growing up, I remember people would actually tell me and my mom, you shouldn't be teaching her Spanish because she's going to get confused and she's not going to know. And they were always telling her not to. And my mom was like, I refuse. I'm so sorry. Like, I just, I'm not going to not have her be able to like communicate with my mom. So this is what I'm doing. But teachers would tell her, like, I don't know why.
Because that's like not the
tea. Well, it's literally making you smarter.
Right.
And I do feel like there's an element of, I don't know, maybe just like maybe racism, maybe like, you know, anti-Hispanic culture of like if it was a white kid learning French and English,
genius, smart, genius, baby. Right.
You are really encouraging them to learn and grow and experience new cultures.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. That's so true. But, and also, and it's also a privilege to have the ability to learn like another language, because, you know, like you have to get the tutor and like that's happy. Like you're saying, like, you like, the people that have the money can like hire the French tutor, and you're like,
and they
like,
see it as like going to like take class and not like you just like living your life in your own home.
Whereas actually living your life in your own home, you're going to learn to speak it so much better than in a class.
And honestly, that was like, that's one of my biggest flexes. Like any job interview, I was like, I'm bilingual. They're like, all right, hired.
Right.
Forget my education. The biggest thing was learning another language. Truly. So I also think like, all right, if I have children, Spanish, English, and we also adding Japanese, because if Ryan's still around, you know.
Right.
So Ohio gozaimasu. I'm like already trying to like.
Wait. Scream. Remember that one time when we lived together and we were. What story are you going to say? We were walking to the taco spot.
Oh, God.
And you had just got back from Hawaii. So, you know, and you were like, so we like went to this taco spot, and like she always just orders for us because it's just faster, and we like do what we gotta do.
Yeah, she's like, hey, okay, Paloma, I want two.
I'm like, this is what I want.
Go like talking to my mom.
I'm like, oh, also this. So, whatever, we're ordering and we get it all handled. And what did you say? You, instead of saying like, thank you or gracias, right?
I literally was like, I can't, what was
I don't know, but you also bowed. So
I might have been like, arigato.
Yes.
Like, it just
Okay. And I was like, oop, nope, wrong one. Wrong language.
So accepting tacos at the taco spot in LA, just arigato. Yep. And like it's so like just I don't know, like
and I was like almost.
Almost. And I remember looking at her and be like, yep, my bad. I just got back. We're good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So add that one into the mix
as
well.
Not with the bow, too.
Dude, literally. Yeah.
They were like,
I was like,
adios.
The guys. Yeah, they were like, okay.
Ciao.
It's just them going back and forth in like all the languages.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Japanese is supposed to be harder to learn, right? Because it is a different base. Like when we're talking about languages based from Latin.
Yes.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. And they have more like the alphabet's different. Like I believe that they actually have more than one. Like there's different... And I don't want to even elaborate in it because it's so, I can't even speak to it. It's too much. It's a lot. Right. It's very hard, but I am Duolingoing it up.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I am working on it. And so I get to like, you know, like when I see the grandmother, I'll be like the very like things, like especially the ones that when you're about to eat, when you're with everyone, I'm like, itadakimasu. Perfect.
What does that
like,
mean?
That's just like I'm trying to say, I was going to say, like, provecho. That's how you say before you eat.
Right.
And how do you say that in English? Before you eat, you
pray,
say
blessings.
No,
grace.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of like a saying, let's like eat. Good eat or
let's cheers. Dig in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But it, I mean, the way that they, it's more like, I don't know.
Would
it's
you
like,
say it's as to you sitting down to the podcast saying yeehaw. You need it in order to start.
I don't know. But yeehaw is not as respectful. So oh, right. I don't know.
I guess it's just like, and now we eat.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's something like, and blessed. And it just, it's right. just like saying, and it's just very like formal. Like that's mm-hmm. how you say it before you begin. Like you're not about to eat and not say that in front of right. everyone. Like they'd be like, not you eating without saying that.
So gotcha, it's probably gotcha. Just as important to learn as like a cultural sign of respect mm-hmm. versus just knowing the words.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Got
and
it.
Like, and I feel like with a lot of cultures, you're like, you wait, everyone gets the plate.
Right.
And then we, itadakimasu, la, la, la. And then in Spanish, we'll be like, provecho, provecho. Or you're like getting, you say that also from getting up from the table. Like when you're done.
Like excusing yourself.
Provecho, I hope everyone. And then itadakimasu, like so.
Gotcha.
Interesting,
gotcha.
Right? Very. So the more I continue to learn on my Duolingo mm-hmm. Plan, and we're looking. So hopefully there's gonna be a plan to go to Japan soon. So wow. I have to get myself studying.
Right.
While I'm getting there.
Oh my god,
so,
Japan.
I know. I have to go to Japan that's and like, meet like the grandma and like in her home and everything.
Right.
So like that's coming
like
up.
A whole thing.
It's happening.
Oh my god,
yeah.
I would love to go to Japan. Wow.
Kenzie and I have been talking about doing a Japan trip forever because she's Japanese and she really wants to bring like her kids there and to go with them. And we were talking about going together with the kids, and I feel like it would be just so amazing, and I've just heard the most amazing things about Japan and mm-hmm. like the culture and everything there, and I feel like it would just be so amazing to go and see, and I feel like it would just be such an amazing trip, but obviously it's such a long trip
right
to get over there mm-hmm. yeah
I feel mm-hmm. like going to Japan is like one of those like life-changing experiences, right? You're like, I just like see the world differently, I see my world differently, like I like grew so much or whatever, like I feel like you just see so much, especially if you've like never really gone anywhere before. Like I feel like if I went to Japan, I've never gone anywhere outside of America. Like I've gone to Mexico, and like obviously it's Mexico, but I'm like, it's like a hop, skip, and a jump away. So like in my head it's like the same, but like I feel like that would be like an out of body experience if I went like all the way to Japan.
Like massive culture shock.
Yeah.
It's just so different.
Yes.
I've heard some people say that like it really does change the way that you look at like yourself in relation to a community, because America and the way that we kind of operate is very me based.
Right.
Like I am me, the individual. Mm-hmm. What do I need? What do I want? And it is very different in Japan in that, from what I've heard, it's very like for the collective. What is, you know, best for the community and the group. And it's like there's a lot of selflessness in that sense. Mm-hmm. Even in things like there's a lot less littering.
Right.
Because it's not, well, I don't want this anymore.
Right.
It's like, well, let's put this where it goes so that everyone can enjoy the space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like Ryan talks about like the safety is just like super high. Like there's like a TV show called like Old Enough where the bit is to send these like little Japanese children on errands, and so like you watch them go like get their mom like the meat that they need for dinner, and they're going through the town by themselves. Like literally the show is to just watch this kid go through like all of like, and he's dropping the lemons, but he's like going through town and like doing all this stuff because it's safe, and everyone comes out and they're like, hi, like do you whatever,
right?
And it just shows you like
could
how
be
safe
America.
And how community. Yeah.
Yeah.
To let your child just like
go
buy.
To the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, that is such a good show. And it's, I watch them. I'm like, oh my God, look at them. So, cause sometimes they're like tiny and they're like, oh, they're just like children. And I'm like, it's also like, what kind of show is this? But this is great. So look it up on YouTube, Old Enough. It's very funny.
Well, that was a really interesting and unexpected discussion about like language and culture. And
oh my gosh,
I know.
We totally derailed. We got onto another train.
All because of El Niño del Mar.
Right.
It always comes back to El Niño.
Right.
He's the root of all my stuff.
Which Paloma, after we filmed that episode, sent us a picture of like the movie poster or the show poster, I guess.
Yes.
Which we will have to put on screen here because this was little Paloma's reason for running into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like the sword.
I know. The sword is my favorite.
And they made him just like, and I used to sing. Like, I remember him. Like, he was like, I loved that boy. Like, I can still think of the love that I had for him. I mean, I threw myself into the ocean for him.
Right.
But we're not here to chit-chat about that right now.
Yeah, we are here to talk about friendships.
Yes.
And that was the topic we originally chose. But I guess friendships and also culture and language.
Right.
We wanted to talk about what it's like to navigate friendships as an adult, and especially when you're in different phases of life. I feel like that's something I've seen in the comments pop up over and over again. It's like how to navigate those friendships when you're living in different places. Because I feel like the 20s is the epitome of that time where like your friends and your social circle can be going in so many different directions, whether it's like starting a family or really getting into your career or still trying to figure it out or traveling or just not knowing. You know, it's a time in your life when you've gone from we're all in, you know, in high school together, we're all doing relatively the same thing. Or college. And but you're not yet at that point where like, okay, everyone, we all kind of know who we are and what we're doing here.
Right.
So to kick us off, we do have a submission from the group chat relating to this topic. This is from Amber. She says, hey, girlies, I need some advice. I'm in my late 20s and desperately need some girlfriends in my life. I met a girl at work, and even though we barely spoke, I really loved her vibe. It's been days later, and I'm regretting not chatting more and getting her number. Through some minor FBI-level Insta-tracking, I found her account, but she's private. How weird is it if I request to follow? Maybe I'm overthinking it, but this feels so outside my comfort zone. Thanks for being my internet besties. You gals are the best.
Aww. Love you, bestie.
Yes.
Love you, Amber. I'm going back to the beginning part where she said that she met a girl at a work event. They hardly spoke, but she really liked her vibe. Do you think it's appropriate to follow on Instagram if they're private?
Well, it's almost like, what are the odds that you would see her again?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Ideally, I feel like you see her, if it's a work event, she works at the company. You know, maybe the next time you see her, you can have a longer conversation where you feel a little bit more comfortable taking that step for the Instagram follow or just asking for her number there. But if it's, you know, somebody's partner or, you know, she was a friend there, a plus one, and you might not see her again.
I think that a follow to the Instagram, especially if it wasn't like they gave it to you. And I feel like that's kind of how I treat Instagram, at least personally. It's like a business card. Like, if you didn't offer it up to me, I'm in your private. I'm not going to really, like, go out and request because where did I go to find?
Like, I had to.
Like, I had to search. And like she said, we did a little FBI. So I'm like, oh, maybe the girl will be like, oh, my God, you really had to find me. Like, And obviously, that's not, like.
It's fine.
Like, yeah, it's fine. Same. It's super fine. But I understand that people might be like.
I understand the hesitation.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things, right, where, oh, sometimes you find someone through a tagged photo or you have a bunch of mutual friends. If you don't have mutual friends, to do that after just having the one short conversation. I see the hesitation. I don't think it's necessarily like the wrong move.
No, for sure.
But I think best case scenario, if you can meet up with this person again.
And then be like, hey, let's follow each other on Instagram.
And
then move from there.
And maybe it's not even Instagram also, because if you guys are at the same work, maybe you guys could find LinkedIn.
Maybe find like if she does work there, like maybe find her work email and be like, oh, my God.
I love meeting you.
Collect on LinkedIn.
Say something fake about work and then be like, anyways, we should hang out.
Or let's get lunch. What time do you usually take your lunch? Where do you like to go? Maybe not where do you like to go. That sounds a little.
Where do you want to
meet
up?
Where do you live? But I fully understand that feeling of like, okay, I really connected with this person and like, where's the next step? And in an ideal world, you get to see them a couple times naturally in person to let that relationship just develop a little bit more, having more conversations. I feel like I've experienced a lot of that in like Grace's classes and stuff, where it's like I meet someone at the class and at first it's just like a quick conversation, you know, like we literally say like three sentences to each other and then our kids are running away. But then with that I know, okay, I'm gonna see them next week. And then next week, you know, maybe we're talking a little bit more, and then maybe then we're gonna get the kids together for a play date, and then maybe we go out to coffee, and there's like natural steps for that. But it feels so scary to go outside of whatever that experience is that you're sharing with that person, whether it be work or a mom group or whatever, to be like, oh, we do this thing together, but do you want to be more? Would you want to get the kids together for a play date? Like, would you want to go out to lunch at work? Like, it's scary to bring it outside of like, okay, we've got a good rapport here.
And it's safe here and it's good and we know what we're doing. But like, to go outside of that is like a...
Well, because you're asking their time. Because if it's like school or all these other commonalities, that's time you've already committed to the location you're at. You're asking them to share not only like things about themselves, but their time, which is like the most precious thing you have.
Right.
Yeah. When you go from having a work friend to a friend who you also work with.
Yes. Yes.
I like that, Jess, of like the, it is the asking for time outside of this common experience that you share.
Mm-hmm. Right. That you're already going to be at. We're already going to be here.
Yeah.
So we're just making this thing more enjoyable. But like, do you want to make maybe something else more enjoyable? I think another thing too, and it sounds like you said, I think in your message that you were like really looking for friends and you're late 20s, I think, and I'm going to date myself here, but like there are a ton of Facebook groups that are relative to like the city that you live in or like the town that you live in. Like there's so many in LA that are like whatever city or town in LA girls. And then it's like you guys all just like you meet up and you hang out and it's like common interests and likes and stuff like that. Book clubs and hiking and all kinds of stuff that I think like is a way that you can meet a lot of people at once and then like find, you know, like you're like, oh, like we're mm-hmm. kind of vibing.
Yeah, and
in this big group.
I think that's really nice, too, because when you're meeting people in your 20s, you can't expect everyone to have an instant connection with you.
Right.
Like, when we were in school, we had this massive pool of, you know, thousands of people right. at our school, and we find our closest two or three mm-hmm. within that pool, right? Or however big your friend group is. And then to just go meet someone randomly and then you don't click, well, that's one person.
Right.
Whereas I like, you know, if you're going to an event with 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, much greater possibility that there's going to be someone you really click with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're also meeting up with people who like the same interests. Like I said, if it's like mm-hmm. book clubs or hiking or whatever, mm-hmm. like even just like going out, I feel like you already have like, what's it called? You already have like a
shared interest.
Yes.
Yeah. You already commonality.
Have, you already, yeah. You already have that. So it's like, okay, I know we already both like books. So we're off to a good start. Like everybody here likes books. Great. Now, what's the next thing that I'm looking for? And it kind of takes away that like awkwardness of like asking one person to hang out with you. Like yes. everybody's already agreed to hang out. Mm-hmm. Kind of takes the hard part out of it.
Right. And I definitely feel like that is such a huge thing for everyone in their... And I even want to say 20s? I feel like
in general.
I feel like in yeah. general, just like is always looking for that community and connection. And it's because we are humans. And that is like why we are here is to like literally connect and be connected. Mm-hmm. And I see it also on TikTok where like there are girls being like, hey, I am like you where I like also didn't like know anybody. I started this like walk. Every Wednesday we meet up here and we do such and such. So I'm also starting to see like people take action about it. They're like, mm-hmm. I'm setting up a walk. I'm setting up just to go tea. I like
yeah
and so really looking into those places like with the keywords especially on TikTok
yeah
TikTok Instagram as well as Facebook I feel like literally searching your city and being like meet girl meetups and I feel like doing that keyword search really helps because I personally too was like you know what I would love to like go and do like the Griffith Observatory hike as well I'll maybe right. meet some people
right
and that's when I like was looking and I was like this is so like easy and you just have to show up you don't have to sign up they're like here's the date here's the time if you want you come bring a friend if not I'm like that's right. so easy, so low stakes, and I truly was going to sign us up to go.
Oh.
Ryan's like, hiking?
Yeah, but emotional support animal. Yeah. You know, I need you to come with
as
me.
As long as you will walk me to the bar after, I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, no, and the one that I was going to sign us up for was like along Santa Monica, like beach. So that's
oh,
like
the upper, no incline.
No incline.
And
no,
like, and there's 40 bars.
And you know, they have the to-go cups yeah. there. So trust girl.
And that's exactly it. When you're there, you're looking for the other girl who's like, all right, so we're going to take a little stop over here. And you're like, bestie.
And yep. I'm sure as we're the two of us are there and
right.
You know what? I also like feel like we need to talk about that when we talk about friendships right here. Like how I do feel like I rely on like I don't want to go to social events without you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Like I truly feel like when we go to like social, even socializing events. So
yeah,
I feel so much more secure when going with a plus one or something like that. So mm-hmm. I totally understand when you guys are like, to go meet other people.
Like alone.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going to go find one and bring her with me. Like,
right.
That's exactly how I feel with Kenzie, especially for me with like mom stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, well, I could go, but also would you like to come with me
right.
and be there with me?
Please.
Right. Because to be alone
yeah. yes.
in this situation, it's almost like you feel like you need that like anchor person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's amazing to have friendships like that where you feel like you can be there for each other. But mm-hmm. I feel like it can also be limiting.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Because I'm not going out of my way to, like, talk to anybody. Like, yes. I don't have
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there's no, like, awkward, like, standing around, like, pretending to, like, be on your phone and, yeah. like, not look alone.
I know.
That you're like, is I'm what here kills
to look
me.
Alone. I know. Is a really hard thing to do. But the thing is, if you're there alone, are you going to approach the person who's already buddy buddy with their best friend in the corner?
Right.
Absolutely.
Or
not.
Are you going to approach the person who's allowing themselves to be vulnerable by looking alone?
This is making me think of middle school when I was in peer leaders uniting students. And one of. Of course.
Plus. Of course.
Right. So I was in plus, and I remember like one of the things that we had to do that week, they were like, if you see someone by themselves, like just start up a conversation, like just engage and whatever. And I think that having that class and like literally just opening your eyes to, hey, what if you look around and if you see someone alone, like when you're in middle school,
when you're
in middle school, you're like trying to survive. You're like, I just don't want to be like, I'm just so busy trying to make it out here that in that moment I was like, oh my gosh, I am a part of this group and like there are people. And I remember that was like the catalyst to being like, if I see someone by themselves being just like, hey, like starting up a conversation. And so I feel like those places, if I was by myself or with myself, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to just go up to super like by themselves people and just be like, hey, like I'm here by myself as well. Like, are you here by yourself? I don't know. I've already like started thinking like, what would I say? Because I have to start finding new friends where I live now because Ryan and I don't live near each other as we would like. And so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that kind of goes into like navigating the friendships that you already have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So since Paloma and I have moved out together, our friendship and our relationship has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're still really close. We FaceTime every day. It's like that. The closeness is still there. But the way we interact when we see each other in person is a lot different. And it also feels like we aren't as involved in each other's lives like we were before. Like we're doing more catching up than like
experiencing together.
Yes.
That's been
like, I know we were like, that's kind of sad. Like, I don't really like that.
Well, it was a TikTok that said something that caused me to be like, as you grow up, you realize you are no longer living life together. You're doing life alongside each other and you're just catching each other up about it. Yeah. And when we lived together, I felt like I was living with you. Like we were doing life. It was like, good morning. All right, what are we doing today? Like
we were, we were doing life together.
Yeah, we were like scheduled. Like it was just when you live in a household and I guess you choose to live like that. And we were choosing to be like, oh, let's do dinner. What are you? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And like, obviously now we live like 45 minutes from each other. So it's like, it's so far.
I know.
And yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, I didn't even tell you because when would I have even told you everything this whole past week? And it's like, and we know that we're like leaving stuff out because there's just so much. And it's like, how do we, and there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, but it's like, how can we have both, right? How can we like, well, we have to make time, right? We have to be like, okay, it's been like, maybe it's been 2 or 3 weeks. We haven't made time to really see each other. Let's like do this thing and hang out and live life together for a handful of hours or a day. Let's have a sleepover. And then we go back to living our lives the way we were before.
Weird.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Don't love it, but
I know we definitely still text each other. So are we really not going to live together anymore?
I know. Like like every other month. It's like, so like, are we just like, is that it? Are we like, is that, we're done with
is
that?
Is this normal now?
I know.
Well, when we first, I think when we very, very first separated.
I know. When we broke up.
The breakup was, I remember I would get so frustrated when I would call her. I would like call her and I would be like, I don't even know where to start. I'm so frustrated. Like, I haven't even talked to you. Like, I would literally be like, I don't even know where to begin. Yeah. Which is like, also, why do I have so much to tell her? Every thought in my brain.
Yeah.
So, but I just would remember every conversation I would start with you and be like, hey, so, well, where?
Like, where to even
and
begin?
I was like, I hate that we haven't talked. And it would just be like this thing. And then we moved to a place where I was like, you know what? Let's just accept, at least to me, me to Paloma, I remember being like, Paloma, you just need to accept that you have not seen her or chatted with her in a couple days. So like, let's move past that rather than being so upset every time and being like, oh my God, why haven't I?
Yeah.
So, and then just accepting and being like, hey, it's been a hot minute and I miss you. What's up? And it's a different setup now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
I agree.
I think what you said of, oh my God, I didn't even tell you, is like the epitome of that thing where you go from this person knowing every detail about your day versus realizing, oh my God, I forgot the big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a hard adjustment to go from. You literally know what my Starbucks order was in the morning and what time I did my laundry. Yeah. And what,
and when I pooped and all that.
Right. Like, right. Literally, yeah.
To, oh, it's been so long and we're so far apart now that I didn't even tell you this big development. Right. And yeah. That's hard.
Yeah. Because it feels like we're drifting apart. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, obviously, mm-hmm. but it feels like that. And that feels like sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though the reality is that it's just different. But it's like, well, you don't know every single thing that's happening. And like, it used to be like that and now it's not. And I think as like kids and growing up and teenagers, when there was a big shift, that meant that like the friendship was like drifting. Yeah. Right. And like, I remember like the day that the day before we moved out, I was like sobbing. Like, obviously I was like sad, but I was like, I don't want the relationship to change. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like worried, not really worried, 'cause I was like, we're fine. But like, I was like, I just know it's going to be different and I don't want it to be different. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you can't accept that things change, right? People change, circumstances change. It makes it difficult. You tend to take things personally, right? Because maybe I thought, you know, we haven't talked in a week and I'm like, why the hell hasn't Paloma called me? Mm. Like, why are we not like talking every day? Like, mm-hmm. why are we not? Well, Paloma has a life. She lives 40 minutes away. We're doing things. I'm doing things. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. It's just drag. it's not personal. It's just, we are adults. We have shit to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we also made the adult decision to not live together anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not personal.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not about you. It's not that she doesn't want to share that with you.
Right.
It's that her life is moving fast and there's a lot going on and it's not as easy to update on everything.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that has to come with like, and this happens with every friendship, like a level of security mm-hmm. of like, mm-hmm. like you said, it's not personal. They're not. You have to trust that they're not texting me because they're upset with me. If they were, they would tell me.
Right.
They're not telling me this thing because, or not calling me because there's an issue with our friendship. Mm-hmm. It's just that this is life.
Yeah.
And this is the way friendships change as you get older and you get busy and your lives are moving not apart, but parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Instead of together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge thing for me and my friendships because, you know, especially having kids, like you get so busy and it's that thing of like, hey, sorry, I saw this text last week, but I read it when right before I was putting my kid down for a nap and then I forgot and then blah, 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 you know.
Right.
And you have to just trust that actually maybe I don't need to give that whole explanation because we have a strong enough friendship that we're just like, oh my God, sorry, I forgot to respond. Yeah, I'm super excited, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And on both ends, you have to trust that like, our friendship is strong enough that if one of us is having an issue, we'll say it.
Yeah.
And we won't do this thing where we have to read between the lines and get upset with each other.
And you know what? I think that might be a conversation that I feel like friends aren't having, which is honestly causing people that do like live apart or like not see each other. They're like, well, I haven't heard from her. And they just like assume that they're like not friends anymore because
right.
I have seen and I've experienced where it's like, I have not seen a friend in so long. And they're like, I hope you're not mad at me. And I'm like, oh my God, I literally wish you nothing but well. And I'm rooting for you on the sidelines, but like, I'm busy as fuck over here.
Right.
Yeah. But like, just there's always assumptions and like, just like our brains are just like trying to keep ourselves safe and be like, okay, I did something wrong or this. It's like, no, you guys literally just live differently. Like even moving to LA and my San Diego friends, I feel the distance in it. And I always will, when I can, call them and be like, I think about you. I love you. And I don't hope that me not texting you every day doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about you and rooting for you just because we haven't seen each other in like a year, which seems crazy because how could we do that?
But
it's approaching like my, like when my birthday just like passed by, that's when the year like ticks, like you realize that you haven't spent that time.
You see the
text above and you're like, oh my
the
God,
last
we
text
should...
was a birthday text.
Yes, the last text was a birthday text or the birthday text to them or oh my gosh, we should see each other. And it's like, we
six
haven't
months ago. Yeah.
And it's been 6 months. And that is why adult friendships are so hard because we all personally have so much shit going. And
yeah,
I think it's a balance, right, of putting the effort in because you care, mm-hmm. making right. sure that it's not just a birthday text,
mm-hmm. right?
Making sure that you follow through on those plans with the friendships that are important to you and that you do want to keep and cultivate even when you're living really far apart. Mm-hmm. But also it's a balance between that and understanding that life goes fast and we both might not respond to every text.
Right.
And we might not see each other for a month or 2 months and we're not going to take it personally, right? Mm-hmm. But it's so hard to find that balance
yeah.
between like, this is a low maintenance friendship. It's great that neither of us are reading into that. And because we're both so comfortable in that, now we never see each other.
Right.
And where things are fine.
Right. Right.
There's no bad blood, mm-hmm. but we're both so like, don't worry about
it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That then what becomes of the friendship?
Yeah.
Well, and I think also we live in a day and age because like phones came out when we were how old? Where yes. like the introduction of like texting and social media, it makes everyone seem so readily available when that really isn't the case.
I was just about to say that.
There's plenty of people who are our age who don't enjoy tech. Like that's not a way they feel connected to other people. So that's not a thing they reach for.
That's also a great point in that in the way that we interact with social media is a way of continuing friendships.
Right.
But not everyone puts the same weight on things. No. Like some people might think like,
I replied to your story.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, yes. Oh, I, you know, we're on great terms. I've been liking your Instagram photos. Right. But the other person might be like, oh, but we haven't like seen each other in a long time. Right. There's people put different weight on things like interacting with social media versus like getting together in person or having a phone call.
And you won't know. No,
you don't
no,
know, please. Right?
I was just going to say, you don't know unless you have the conversation, which is why I made it a point to tell Ryan as I was feeling this way. Like, I literally remember being like, you need to tell me, like, I, now that we don't have this open communication, I want you to feel comfortable to tell me I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way, because I don't want to be like, oh, I don't ever want to be like, oh, she's not calling me because of whatever. I'll just tell her next time and be like, oh my God, I whatever, because I feel like holding it back would be like silly. And it's just, that's my best friend.
yeah. I feel like too, along the side of like social media, it's like if they are, you know, active on social media, you see them and like maybe you see them go out with their other friends and stuff. And so you're like, okay, but you could have hit me up.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, I hate to say it. And I say it right here in front of the internet and everybody here. I do get a little, when I see it, you post on Instagram with other people. And
really?
I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Because I know that like, I would just be there if we lived. Like, it would just be like, let's just go. Like, just go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And not that I'm, like, jealous or mad, but I'm like,
I think we're seeing things that we're not meant to see.
Right.
I'm not meant to see every time my friend hangs out with other friends and I'm not there. Because before social media, you just
did.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like both on my public Instagram and my personal Instagram, I don't post every time I see people. Unless I'm like, unless we're like doing something like, and we're, you know, wanting to vlog it and share it and whatever that, like most of the time I just let those experiences be experiences because like we're not all meant to see that all the time.
It's kind of giving like unintentional surveillance.
Your
friends are like, I've heard that term lately, surveillance culture, with like everyone being like, I heard this girl at this bar in New York talking this story about her friends. So Emily, if you're out there, they said this, and it's like,
oh,
you weren't supposed
to. Yes.
I have thoughts on that.
Let's talk about it.
That whole kind of culture of like people making TikToks of like hearing someone talk in person, like exactly the way Jess played it out.
No.
I kind of think it's wrong, because if I was the person that they were talking crap about, like, yeah, I guess you'd want to know, but I don't want to know. You just told the whole world what my friends were saying about me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan because I'm probably talking shit, so
so keep your mouth shut. And Paloma, that bitch be traveling in Hawaii without me, I swear to God.
Right. Yeah, I feel like absolutely. It's obviously like there's a reason why people have like private conversations. It's eavesdropping and it's like weird.
I mean
I feel like it's the same thing as like taking pictures of people in public to like post on Instagram, like it's just kind of the same same vibe.
I remember, sorry, that just reminded me, you know all those pages of like influencers in the wild and like those kind of things. I remember there was one in San Diego called Conversations in San Diego. And I was taking the train to the beach with my friends, and we were just sitting on the train talking about boys and whatever, and a guy took a picture of us and wrote a little caption about our conversation and post. We were like 15 years old.
No way.
And it was like a very normal conversation, but it said something like, I remember it so clearly because it had that like super grainy like early Instagram filter. And right. then the caption was like, but like, do you think he really likes me? Yeah, I do. Like, something very normal like that. And I remember it getting sent to me and feeling so violated.
Right.
And it was, the caption was a little bit like making fun of the way like teenage girls talk to each other. And I'm like, this is weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let's make fun of the little girls. She's like,
for liking boys. Like,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, that's so random.
But no, like, no, but
same vibe.
But it's like paranoia, like that feeling of constantly being perceived.
Yes.
Right. Even when you, like, especially when you are not expecting it and you are just like living your life.
Yeah. That would make me feel so like, I feel kind of like exposed.
To kind of circle back to where we were, you know, having this, living in this age where, where so much of our lives are online, it can be harmful to friendships. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's good to maybe not look at everything.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And not, and at least not read into everything. And again, knowing that it's not personal if they were together and they were, you know,
right, doing
not inviting you. And,
right.
And you have to understand and you have to have enough trust in your friendships to know that if there's an issue, they will talk to you. Mm-hmm. And right. I think also maybe having that conversation with your friends.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I've been feeling kind of insecure and I just want you to know, and also making that about you, not you've been making me feel
right,
insecure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've been feeling kind of insecure and I just, for like my own well-being and our friendship, if we have an issue, can you please like tell me about it? Like, yeah. I want to know. I care about our friendship and putting that out there because most of the time, they're probably exactly what P said. No, of course I'm not mad at you.
Right. Right. We literally did that. Remember when I was like, hey, like, I just want to, like, make sure before we moved, like, before we, like, made the, like, full decision to move, I was like, hey, like, we, like, talked that one day. And
oh, my
I was
God.
Like,
I do remember. I do remember.
I kind of feel like maybe you, like, don't actually want to live together anymore. Mm-hmm, and you've already, like, I remember that. And you were like, what the hell are you talking about? And I was like, oh, I felt like.
Yeah, it was in the process of when we were, like, the three of us trying to find homes. And I feel like, obviously, that was the time when we were, like, didn't know if we were still going to live together. So it was, like, we had to be strong and, like, I want this, I want that. And I remember we were now looking at homes that obviously had different places and different stuff.
Yeah.
And, that conversation where you were, like, I feel like we don't want. And I'm, like, oh, no, And I'm so glad because if not, she would be assuming. And I was, like, oh, my God, no, I do, like, full send. I'm begging. Please.
You're like, I'm trying to make it. I was like, I feel like you don't want to, and you're just like trying really hard to make it not work. Mm. And you were like, oh, girl, no. I believe me. If we could, I want to, but it's just.
And it's so good that you said that because if you didn't, maybe you start acting a little bit cold or reserved because you're feeling like she feels that way, and then it goes to Paloma. Is she mad at me? And then you both start pulling back before you realize it that neither of you are actually upset with each other, but you're reacting to each other's reactions.
Right, right.
And I've had that happen in friendships before, and it takes someone taking the step to be like, is there something going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm not upset, but I feel like you're upset, and that's kind of making
being
me upset.
Honest with yourself and them.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing, which feels vulnerable and like icky, even with the safest of people. When you're doing it for the first time and in your 20s, that's especially for a lot of like women. Mm-hmm. You're raised to people please, you're raised to be helpful, you're raised to not make anyone feel bad.
Right.
And so the last thing you want to do to the people you really care about is feel like you're making them uncomfortable or sad.
Right.
But by, I think, withholding truths from them as you arrive to them, you do them a great disservice.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah.
I also think that there's like a really weird like feeling that you can't have an issue with how something's going. But like think about relationships, right? Like romantic relationships. You don't have a problem telling your boyfriend that what he said or did pissed you off or like made you upset or made you feel a type of way. But like, it feels weird to be like, hey, friend, what you said, I didn't like, and that was this, that. Like, it feels weird to do that.
Yeah.
But why does it feel weird to do that and not feel weird to do that in like a romantic relationship?
Such a good point.
That was such a good question. It is literally
like,
I'm like, I don't know. You're right.
I don't know.
But I don't know why.
Like, there's a, you're like, well, I'm with this person. So like, and we're here together. We made that commitment to be together. So if I have a problem, I have a problem and it's fine. But like, you've also made some sort of like commitment to be that person's friend and they should respect you and respect your boundaries and like be nice to you and be kind and whatever. But why does it feel like a burden or like unnecessary to tell them that what they've said or done is like, like fucked you up?
Do you think it's a fear that they might just get mad and end the friendship or stop responding? Whereas in a relationship, there's an understanding that there will be like a breakup, or a resolution. Mm. Right? Is it just, oh, it, what if this person just
is like, okay, well, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with this.
Right. And they don't have to explain or do anything.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Maybe. I was going to say, sometimes it's like, well, maybe it's not that big of a deal. That at least that happens to me where I'm right. like, oh, well, nah, I don't really care. It's like, fine. It's,
yeah.
But my rule of thumb, and I've always told Ryan, I'm like, if I ever say or do anything that pisses you off for longer than 48 hours, I would really appreciate if you were just like, hey, that hurt my feelings. And I will be fucking here to hear you and make that right because I care about how I make you feel.
Right.
So. Yeah. So please.
Yeah.
But I understand too, me sometimes being like, oh, that hurt my feelings. Whatever, move on. Like, I don't have to bring up whatever. Like, everything to everything. So I feel like it's good to have some rules. Like, maybe after the third day or whatever, if I'm still thinking about it. And I do that with relationships too, where I'm like, because if not, you got to choose your battles, ladies.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true. And it's a hard thing to do in any friendship. I think it's an even harder thing to do when you're living far apart, because maybe if you don't see each other all the time, if you bring this thing up, it might be easier for the friendship to fade.
Right.
And we're all in a stage in our life where we have friends who live across the country.
Right.
Who sometimes people move for school or a job or a partner. And all of a sudden you go from seeing each other all the time to maybe seeing each other at the holidays.
Yes.
Right. If they come home.
Literally. That happens to me. I feel that way. Like, I know LA and San Diego is not that far, but my San Diego friends are working. They are hustling. They're trying to make it out here just as much as we are. So
yeah.
What the fuck? I'm not going to ask you. You have two jobs and you're in two shows. Like, I can't see you.
Yeah.
So it's like Christmas is coming and I'm like, I know I'm going to see you that one time. And that like literally kills me that I have so many like tender people that I hold so dearly that I don't have the time to even do such.
Right.
So when I do hear some friends being like, hey, are you mad at me? I'm like, what? Because that has happened to me. That has happened to me where they're like, well, I saw you hanging out with like such and such and such and such. So obviously you didn't want to hang out with me. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was shooting, like literally, like you're not even, they don't know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're really fortunate in that we work together. Mm-hmm. And so like this time where we sit on the podcast every week is scheduled.
Yeah.
And so even though we live, you know, hours apart, we get to see each other a couple times a month because we're scheduling this work time and we want to hang out outside of the work time too, but we have at least the work time.
Right. Imagine how much harder it would be if we didn't have this.
My friends who are in LA, some of my closest friends who I love dearly, I see a couple times a year.
Right.
And we have still a great friendship because we text and we talk and we've been friends for so long that bond is like established.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have this time that we get. And this is so amazing and so special. But you can't have that. I can't have that with every friend that is in LA, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to do. I'm sure with you two coming down from San Diego, it's like, well, I just saw you were in San Diego.
Dude, they're like, you came to San Diego and didn't see me?
Right.
I'm like, I swear I'm working.
And it is even harder to prioritize those friendships when you're living far apart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like you guys, how do we balance that? Of like, hey, I'm just busy. Like, this is just life. But also like, even though we live really far apart, I want our friendship to continue because it really matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think like scheduling, whether it's like a FaceTime or a call or like maybe, and if you're close enough to like a meetup or something and hanging out, I think scheduling, let's be real, we're in our late 20s. Like we are living in Google Calendar. Like we all have planners. Like scheduling is everything. Mm-hmm. And if it's not on the calendar, I'm probably not doing it. Like I think taking the time to just be like, hey, I'm free 3 weeks from now on Thursday. Are you free? Great. That's when we can do it. Because as much as we all want to be like super spontaneous and just be like, yeah, let's go get a drink somewhere. And like, that's just like
the spontaneity has gone.
Like that's that's not realistic at this point. And if it is, that's awesome. And like, I love when that is able to happen, how fun and great that is.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if it's a long distance, like I think just taking the time to be like, hey, this is when I am free. I would love to FaceTime or call or something.
Yeah. Finding ways to continue like connecting with each other, even when you aren't seeing each other in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan like plays like games on the computer, but like video games and stuff with his friends that live in Nashville. And like that's when he's able to like connect with them.
Same with Steven. He has kept up so many friendships through video games. Even like his brother lives far away and they play video games all the time. And that like keeps their relationship going because they're not just playing the game, but they're like
Talking and like in between screaming at each other, but you know,
I know.
Bonding.
Right.
Because it's just easier to not. Mm-hmm. If you don't like actively take the time to schedule something or be like, hey, I'm going to hop on this game or whatever. Come to the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I also feel like we have an interesting perspective, especially from, you know, those of us who like vlog a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like my friends watch my vlogs, and so they do kind of feel like they're a part of my life and like my in gosh. It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then when we do talk, they're like, oh my God, I saw that you did XYZ. And I'm like, why do you? Oh, right.
Yeah. Just like that in the podcast. Else.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the podcast.
They'll be like,
too.
Oh my God, I heard. And I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
You feel totally like they like are caught up with me, but yes. I'm like, I don't know anything. And I'm like, that's so interesting.
Yes. You're like, can you give me a podcast rundown on what you've been up to? Literally. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Literally.
But yeah, honestly, I think like scheduling time to do whatever it is that you guys want to do, even like a virtual happy hour. I remember during lockdown, like that was like my favorite thing to do.
Loved a happy hour.
Because. Yeah.
We're like, everyone get on at 6, get your glass of wine,
and we're going to sit here and chat.
Which also, another tip that I personally like to do is when I do hang out with that person in person, I'll be like, hey, now that I have you here, let's look at our calendars together and schedule the next time. Because honestly, that is half the battle is scheduling. Because then I'll be like, bye, we'll see. We'll schedule it.
I'll text you.
Scheduling it is half the it's like getting an appointment to the doctor. What about in 3 months?
Right.
Right.
I really mean that. Like that's what I do. So when I see them, I'm like,
before we
separate, please, when am I next seeing you? And put it on the calendar. Yeah. So so I have that. And whether it be like 3 months from now, I'm like, at least I know in 6 months I'll see you. And guess what? In 6 months, it comes quick.
Right.
So damn quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with us living far apart, like we have the benefit of, you know, the podcast and working together and doing videos together. But it's still that thing of like, okay, when we're not together, because we see each other a couple times a month and it's amazing to have this time set aside. Mm-hmm. But when we're not together, how do we keep our friendship going?
Right.
And let's make sure that we're doing things outside of just like
work.
Yeah, because we get to see each other. And this is this is a lot of the catching up that we would do if we were going out to dinner.
Right.
But we still, you know, want to have that offline.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's like the hard part, right? Because it's like, well, yeah, like we hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did hang out with 4 cameras and you know what I'm saying? And a whole set. And it does like, it doubles. But I do think, right, it's like, it's harder to plan something outside of work.
Yeah.
And like, even if you're like really close friends with your work friends too, like in more traditional jobs, it's like, yeah, I know I'm going to see you every day, but like, how do we see each other outside of this?
Mm-hmm. Like Jess said earlier, bringing extra time.
Exactly.
Right? How do we bring extra time outside of...
Right.
Well, and how are we present for that time?
Yeah. Right.
Because like if you're living your life and you're working, you do all these things, even if it's stuff that you love, you get to the point where you're there to see your friends, hang out with your friends, and you're like, my cup runneth empty.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not personal to anyone, and I wish it wasn't this way.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people in their 20s self-isolate when they get to that point, because they're like, well, I'm no fun to be around.
Let me get to a place where I'm going to be enjoyable to be around, and then I'll be with my friends.
Oh, my gosh. I think I feel that a little bit too much. Yeah. Ooh, like, I'm now realized, like, I feel like if I can't show up, like, how I want to show up to, like, and entertain, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, but that's not your job, bitch.
And your friends don't love you because you entertain.
Right.
They love you because you're you, even on your best days and your worst days.
All right. We'll add that to the therapy list.
Right. I also think, like, while I love my boyfriend's friends' girlfriends, I do. I love them and they have become my friends and I love hanging out with them. It is also incredibly convenient for me to hang out with them.
Yeah.
They're there just as much as I'm there. And I think that there's, you know, that like that makes sense, right? Like, of course, I'm hanging out with my boyfriend's friends, girlfriends way more than I get to hang out with you because they're where I'm at. Mm-hmm. At my boyfriend's house, they're there. I'm like, great, let's hang out. Let's have a wine night. Let's do crafts and whatever the fuck else we're doing because it's convenient. Mm-hmm. I love them. And I love hanging out with them and it's amazing and I have a great time, but it is convenient. But take the convenience out of it. Just like everything else, it would be way harder.
Yeah. And so, and I think it's just good to know that so you don't beat yourself up and feeling like, oh my God, I'm not doing enough and I'm not spreading everything.
Right. And I'm spending so much time with these girls and I'm not spending enough time with these girls. It's like these girls fit well into the life that you have. And that's why.
Mm-hmm. And when you have friends who don't fit easily into the life that you have, mm-hmm. whether it be for distance or for busyness or where you are in life, that doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means you have to put in the extra effort to see them. And you might be only seeing them twice a year, but that's quadruple, 10 times, 50 times the effort that it takes to see the convenient people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like we have, Steven and I, like one of our closest couple friends, Steven's best friend from high school and his wife, who like she and I get along just as well as they get along. And like I love Steven's best friend and like he loves, Steven loves his wife. Like we just all four of us and our kids now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But they live really far away. Mm-hmm. And it's not convenient. Mm-hmm. But we keep up our friendship through like texting and doing like Zoom calls. We used to play D&D together. Mm-hmm. And we make an effort to see each other twice a year. And that takes so much planning and coordination.
Right.
Infinitely more than the mom friends that I get to see every week at Grace's preschool class.
Right.
So just because I'm spending more time with this person doesn't mean that this friendship is less important to me.
Right.
Because it's take, if I had to put in that kind of effort for like everyone, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And well, you don't.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
You literally can't. Yeah.
And I think it is that thing of like, you don't have to see each other all the time to love each other and have a great relationship. If you're putting in that effort, whether it be once a year, twice a year, once a month, like making sure that everyone's on the same page that like you love each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like that's enough. And that's hard work to even have those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I think there's a lot of things that can put distance between a friendship, be it like, you know, having different emotional needs. Or literal distance,
right?
Mm-hmm. And also, like, distance and where you are in life and being in different stages, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And the thing I've seen all the time is, like, how is it having friends who don't have kids with someone who has kids and vice versa? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting because I honestly think that part of what makes our friendship so great is the fact that, like, we are in different spaces, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that I am able to have friends who don't have kids and we don't have to just sit around and talk about our kids all the time. And like, it makes me feel like Sierra and not just a mom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. But how do you guys feel like navigating that is on the other side mm-hmm. as the ones who don't have kids?
I feel like I literally, you and Kenzie are my only friends that have kids. Like out of like all my friends, I mean, I don't know. If that's on purpose, I mean, maybe it might be unintentionally, but I think like it's just a different perspective. It's interesting to watch as a non-mom, as a non-parent. It's interesting to watch. And I think that like it further adds to what we were saying. Like it's not as convenient, right? But I think like that's what, because we do put in the effort to do that, like that's what makes the friendship like worth having and like mm-hmm. special.
Yeah.
You know, because it could be easy for me to be like, well, Sierra's got kids, so I just, you know, we just won't invite her because she probably can't come. When like, but we want Sierra to come. So we'll do what we need to do in order to make it work. And I think just like you said too, it's also nice to have a perspective of like, not that I'm interested in having kids, but it's fun and it's cool to see how you navigate your life as a parent. And as just a person that has kids.
And it's fun and cool to have people around who don't have kids
right.
who are like, oh my gosh,
right.
she's saying sentences now.
Right.
When did that happen? Right. You know, like it's really fun for me and for Grace to have people around who aren't just like as plugged into mom life.
Right.
And I think it's been really amazing through our friendship that like we have so much time and we set aside time to just be adults, mm-hmm. but also like you guys are cool with Grace being around
right.
when that's what's happening. Like, right. because if we're wanting to go out and have a girls' night, like obviously I'm gonna not bring Grace,
right.
you know? And I have a huge privilege of having a partner who's really involved and family who's involved and help that we can use. And so I'm able to get childcare and do that. And like mm-hmm. that I think is a big part of what has made it easier for our friendship to continue instead of just like me being a mom and like you guys being around when I'm being a mom.
Right.
But also that you guys are cool with when we're hanging out downstairs and it's the morning before the shoot. And of course, Grace is going to be there.
Right.
And you guys are so fun with her and like so sweet and so understanding, and it's just like such a blessing to have that.
Like you were saying, but I want to just like emphasize again, and it's so cool to have like see you in that role, like be mom to like Grace. Like it's just like you inspire me in those moments. I'm like, I want to be like that with my daughter if I were to have a daughter, or just and it makes me be like, I know who I'm going to go to and ask in the future.
I also think it gives us like more, I don't know if it's like empathy for other moms, right? Just in life that we see in general that we don't have any relation to, of just like, well, we get it. Like we don't get it because we're not like, I don't get it. But like, I see you.
You see more of it.
I see you. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
If since I don't have friends that have kids, I don't see that modeled at all. So I like, it's an amazing experience to also have that like layer as well.
Right.
That's really cool to hear. And like, just, it's so, you guys, I feel like have just been so amazing. And like the way you've approached like our friendship with me also being a mom, because as a mom, I experience this and I know so many other people do this feeling of, oh my God, now I have kids and my friends aren't going to want to be invite me anymore. They're not going to want to be around me anymore. Yeah. Like I'm not going to be invited. I'm not going to be included. And now I'm going to have to find like mom friends because those are the only people who are going to like want to be around me. And it's been really cool to see like our friendship like grow and adapt. Like since you and I were friends before I had Grace. And for Paloma, like when we became friends, I already had Grace. And like, I feel like you guys have just always been so accommodating of that. And we've still been able to have time just as friends.
Right.
And with Kenzie and I, it's been really interesting because we were friends long before we had kids.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
And I think we really easily could have fallen into now we're just mom friends because we're friends and we both have kids. But we see each other just as much without our kids as with our kids. And I think that's really important is if you can, if you have the support, like finding time to be with your friends without your kids so that you can give your full attention. And that's a huge privilege and not everyone has access to that. But if you can, I think that is so important for continuing friendships instead of just being like, well, if we want to have a friendship, you always have to come to me.
Right.
And you always have to, you know, meet me where I'm at.
Yeah.
Right.
I also think there is an understanding, too, of, like, the people with kids and the people without kids. Like, there are times where it's okay because I do have kids. So I will excuse myself from this situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's an understanding, too, of, like, you're having a birthday party and it's going to be 45 kids and we're having a bouncy house. Maybe I don't need to come.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And we're getting drunk at some random ass place wherever and wherever and it's 9 o'clock and Sierra's got to put the kids to sleep and that's okay. And she's not mad that she can't come because it's okay.
Yep, exactly. I think there has, that's, I'm so glad you brought that up. I think there has to be an understanding that your lives won't always align. And again, going back to what Paloma was saying earlier, we can't take it personally. Right? We have to both put in effort to like continue our friendship, sometimes with the kids, sometimes without the kids, making sure, because that's both, right? The people without kids, the non-parents, they're having to do something a little different and a little extra to be with the friend when they have their kids with them.
Right.
And for the parent, they're having to do the extra work of getting a sitter and coordinating everything so that they can be with their friends without their kids.
Right.
So it's doing both on both sides, but also understanding that that is not always going to align.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yep.
And I wish that everyone and all of us could have more conversations like that. You know, so that we don't have to carry that weight and that stress of reading into things. Because that's a lot to carry with you, you know? And I just loved this conversation.
I do, too. This was really great conversation, ladies.
And I hope that you guys found something useful or helpful or just found, like, friends in this conversation. We, I think we talked really open and candidly just about all types of friendships and relationships. And we know that this is something really pressing on our 20 whatevers and on honestly 30, 40, everybody just wants a friend. And I think that's where we can all, like you said before, we're just humans and we're all here just to like find community and be together. So hopefully this brought you some comfort and some friendship, and if it did, be sure to give us a subscribe, give us a thumbs up, follow us on TikTok and Instagram, and we hope that you have a great rest of your week and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.